Eric Yen is the founder and CEO of Zoom. He started the company in 2011 and took it public in 2019. Since the COVID pandemic gripped the globe, Zoom has revolutionized the way we work, learn, and play. Zoom is among the rare breed of tech businesses whose brand is so powerful, the name of the company is also a verb. And I'm here with Eric Yuen, the CEO of Zoom. Eric, nice to see you. As we said in that intro, this has been an overnight success, 10 years in the making. And of course, your company has just zoomed into the popular culture and our zeitgeist over the past year. What surprised you the most about your company's success?
Yeah, thank you, Andy. I think what has surprised me most is that Zoom was built to serve for enterprise customers. We never thought about so many consumer-driven new use cases, like Zoom wedding ceremony, K-12 school kids, leveraging Zoom for online learning. I think those kind of new use cases surprise us most.
Of course, everyone wonders, can you keep up this amazing success you've had so far? And last year, the stock hit 550. It's now at 280, so coming back down to earth a little bit. But how do you keep the trajectory going forward?
I think the way for us to look at the growth, I think we got to look at everything from a customer perspective. Right? We got to keep improving our business, keep innovating, and make sure solicit feedback, do all we can to truly care about our customers, to deliver happiness to them. Also, as the CEO of a company, my number one priority is to make sure Zoomies, our employees, they are very happy. By doing that, I think we will be okay. So meaning there's so many great opportunities ahead of us. Literally, we just started. Video communication is going to change the way for us to work, to learn, to play. I think huge opportunities ahead of us.
Yeah, let's drill down into some of those potential opportunities, Eric. What ways can the company grow besides just the core video conferencing?
It's a good question. I think when we started, our focus was on video communication, which is to focus on a next generation of cloud-based video conferencing company. However, over the past several years, we added more and more new services, like a video cloud-based phone system, Zoom webinar, Zoom chat, Zoom events. Recently, last year we launched also on Zoom, Zoom apps, and also a lot of new opportunities. Like last month, we announced Zoom Video Engagement Center, which is a foundation to our future contact center offering. I think ultimately, we would like to offer a full UC platform, not only just for video conferencing, and huge opportunities when it comes to a full UC stack.
I want to ask you about the competition. And first, I want to ask about the past, and then I want to ask about the present and the future. In the past, there were competitors and still are, like Skype and WebEx at Cisco, which you know all about. How come they didn't take advantage of the opportunity the way that you did?
I think they did try. I think they tried hard. But I think, first of all, I would say, we built everything from the ground up with the cloud based video first architecture, the huge difference in terms of architecture, right? And plus, we really focus on the customer experience to make sure simplify our product usability. No matter who you are in K-12 kids or grandparents, they know how to use Zoom. Zoom just works. I think, ultimately, I think we spend more time on talking with our customers and really understand the customer's pain point. We built a better solution. That's the reason why we're ahead of the game.
Yeah, and then I want to ask about the new competitors and the current competitors, which includes Microsoft Teams and Google Meet. And what concerns you about these two giant companies getting into the space and really competing with you vigorously?
Those two companies are great companies, right? And we not only do we have a little bit overlap, but also we partner with both Microsoft and Google, right? I know both companies very well. We learn a lot from those two great companies. I really do not think, you know, we should focus on the Microsoft or Google. Our competitor, just ourselves. The reason why there's huge opportunities, you know, for the next 10 years, right? And why do we need to focus on our competitors? We got to spend more time on talking with our customers, make sure our employees happy, keep innovating. I think we'll be okay. If you laser focus on competitors, what if they are building something not right, right? So you got to focus on customers. That's why we do not feel very concerned about any of our competitors.
I want to ask you about return to office, return to work, hybrid work, and what you're doing at your own company, because you might assume that at Zoom, you want everyone to work from home. But that's not the case. You do believe in a hybrid workplace. Is that right?
Andy, that's right. At this moment, I'm working from home. But also, you know, over the past 15 months, we know how to, you know, work from home, right? There's no productivity loss. However, you know, the side effect, you know, is, you know, mental health, anxiety, depression. We are human beings. We need a social interaction. Unfortunately, Zoom does not have those features yet, right? Like Andy, you and I, we cannot shake hands with each other. I cannot give a hug either, right? I think, you know, we needed to get it together. That's why the hybrid work will be the future, right? Like 2 days in the office or 2 days at home. I think that's future. We got to support hybrid work. Give our employees flexibility.
Is that what you have right now at Zoom, a hybrid work, or are you getting everyone back to the office at some point, or what's the status right now?
Not yet, in the middle of the process, and we are planning to go back to the office to support a hybrid work early next year. For now, and I think almost every Zoom employees are still working from home.
Eric, I think you said back in May that you suffered from a little of Zoom fatigue yourself, which is another phrase that's entered the popular lexicon, but you got over it. So how do we address that? And how many Zoom meetings do you have on a typical day?
I think one thing, Andy, I can tell you, there's no Zoom fatigue whatsoever anymore. Everyone, myself included, already figured out a way to handle that. You know, we proactively take a break. I do not need to schedule 19 Zoom meetings anymore, right? Quite often, you know, maybe 5 or 6 Zoom meetings. I take a break. Sometimes I hide my own video and I play games together before the meeting is over because we have Zoom apps. For now, I do enjoy, you know, using Zoom every day. I never feel like I have a Zoom fatigue anymore.
Hey, do you have any stories of high-profile customers you can share with us? Maybe President Biden using Zoom or Tom Brady or something like that. What are some good Zoom customer stories?
Yeah, you mentioned both of them, and this is great. You know, it's great to know both of them. I think they are using Zoom, and also so many great stories. Like, you know, and like, you know, Saturday Night Eve. You know, Saturday Night, you know, the show, they also use Zoom as well. I think, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, I also use Zoom. I think, you know, so many celebrities, NBA stars, you know, Andy Iguodala also, he's using Zoom very often as well. And yeah, again, you know, you name it. I think almost everyone I know of, they all use Zoom.
Have you ever Zoomed with Jimmy Kimmel then?
Yeah. I think I did not get a chance, but I know he loves Zoom. And next year, we are going to invite him to join our user conference.
That sounds like a great idea. Hey, one thing that is...
One example, sorry for that. Sorry, in terms of your last question,
what's that?
We invited a Coach K, you know, at our user conference last month. And he told me that he is using Zoom very often to engage with his team.
Okay, wow, okay. Thank you for that bit of information as well. I want to shift gears a little bit and ask you about the metaverse, which is a very hot topic right now. And I'm wondering if you thought about incorporating the metaverse, maybe not right now, but down the road, into Zoom somehow.
Absolutely. We always think about how to further innovate. Metaverse is a great, you know, new topic. Actually, we already started a while back, right? How to support leverage AR and VR, and how to support a metaverse world. I think from a software side, I think a lot of new ideas, new innovations. Unfortunately, I think it will take several years to make sure that, you know, metaverse supported, like video conferencing, will become mainstream. I do not think we are fully ready yet.
Eric, I can see that Zoom logo behind you. And of course, your trademark, that brand name, has become a verb. It's so powerful and it's so valuable, especially to have created something like that in such a short time. I know the company, again, is 10 years old, but really people have just become aware of it over the past 18 months, really. And I'm curious, how do you intend to capitalize on that?
I think, first of all, Andy, you know, we are so fortunate we pick up a good name, Zoom, right? And it's a verb now. I think, first of all, I think, you know, look at the market opportunity, huge opportunities, right? Video communication is going to change the way for us to work, to live, to learn, and to play. We just started. Right? You just talk about the metaverse. I think AR, VR, and AI, you know, we truly believe video communication like Zoom can deliver a better experience than face-to-face meeting in the future. We are not there yet, but we are going to get there in the next 5 to 10 years.
Cybersecurity is a big concern of the Biden administration, and I'm wondering if you've had any conversations with administration officials about that subject.
Yeah, we have, you know, a government relations team. We have also very, very big security privacy team. And the security and privacy is part of our company DNA. We are doubling down on that. You know, every feature, every new use cases, we always look at a privacy and a security perspective. Whenever there's a conflict between innovation and new feature release, you know, with privacy and security, we always prioritize privacy and security. I think that's the key, you know, to deliver a much better service, you know, to our customers.
And privacy obviously was a concern, especially a few, last year, really early in last year in 2020 with your company. But I know you resolved a lot of those issues. Still, I'd like to ask you how you weigh privacy concerns with, say, requests from law enforcement, maybe trying to take a look at something that happened in connection with an investigation. How do you weigh those two forces there?
It's a great question. We publish the privacy, you know, policy, and we keep everything open, transparent. And also, not only do we publish that privacy, you know, the policy, but also, you know, we also going to publish the report. So meaning who requests that, you know, and what kind of context. We have a dedicated team, right, to make sure and Zoom is going to be used and by, you know, those, you know, business customers or education, healthcare. However, if some, you know, bad apples are trying to use Zoom for the bad things, right, for sure, you know, our team, we are going to work together, right, to make sure and to help. And again, we have very clear, you know, privacy policy we published and also discussed with our, you know, community as well.
Last month, you reached an agreement with a cloud center company called Five9 for you to acquire that company for $14.7 billion, but then those shareholders rejected that deal. Are you still going to look to do acquisitions to grow the business?
I think, first of all, we look at everything from our customer perspective, right? That's the reason why we announced to, you know, join forces together with Five9. And we think, you know, we are going to deliver our long-term value to both sets of long-term shareholders. But also, you know, financial discipline is also, you know, foundational to our M&A strategy. And when it comes to M&A, you know, strategy, we always look at the technology, talents. We do not, you know, and focus on acquisition, you know, to drive our, you know, revenue, our customer growth, right? I think we are going to look at, you know, other startup companies with technology, with talents. Also, the contact center remains a strategic priority. You know, we are very confident in our ability to capture its growth potential. by doing our, you know, like last month, we announced our Zoom Video Engagement Center and also partnered with other contact center service providers.
Last summer, or this past summer, you announced some new products and services, Zoom apps and Zoom events, and I'm wondering how those projects are going.
Yeah, those new projects are doing very well, and Zoom events, we leveraged our own Zoom events to host our annual user conference, Zoomtopia, last month, and as you know, so many applications are built upon our platform. They supported introduced the new Zoom apps, like recently, last month, like a DocuSign, right? And also, you know, build a Zoom app, dramatically improve the way for us, like for me to send, every day I received so many DocuSign, you know, emails, right? How to, sometimes I have a question, you know, how to facilitate that, right? That's why those Zoom apps can certainly help. We are very, very excited about those new opportunities.
Eric, you came from China, and word has it that your visa application was rejected 8 times before you were finally accepted. Number one, how did you persevere? And number two, that sounds difficult, but isn't it even that much more difficult for people to come into this country at this point? And what should we do about that?
I think, first of all, looking back, I never complained like 8 times on next attempt. I would say this is great. It's more like the practice, you know, for my perseverance, right? Looking back, I'm so grateful, right? I think if you look at it, you know, today, I think, you know, I think the government is doing absolutely right thing, right? To make sure I, for those, you know, high-tech workers, right? And to facilitate them to get the green card. But they got the doctorate degree or go to the great universities, why not offer a green card to them, right? Because they are going to help the country, right? You know, look at the, you know, a lot of startup founders, look at the great companies, the CEOs like Microsoft, the Google, and Adobe, right? All those CEOs, right? You know, they also are immigrants. Imagine, you know, we do not have a great flexible immigration policy. You know, we even do not have those great CEOs. That's why I think I'm very optimistic. I know those great, you know, talents, you know, they still want to come to America, come to Silicon Valley. They are going to contribute more and more to the American, you know, economy.
Eric, you just mentioned Silicon Valley. And, of course, a lot of companies seem to be leaving Silicon Valley. Tesla announced it's going to Texas and, of course, others. What do you think about that? And would you ever leave the Bay Area?
No, not at all. I'm a huge fan of Silicon Valley. I think Silicon Valley is a worldwide innovation center. No any other place is even close to Silicon Valley in terms of its very inclusive, innovative culture. I think at the same time, more and more people that come to Silicon Valley, right? And more great startup companies will be born in Silicon Valley. Also, I'm so grateful to Silicon Valley. Over the past, you know, 24 years, I live here and learn a lot, you know, from so many leaders here, and I just am so grateful. I would like to do all I can to contribute back to the Silicon Valley. And I do not think I will leave it at all, you know, and I really love Silicon Valley.
And final question, Eric. Again, company's 10 years old. It doesn't seem like because people hadn't really heard about it before the pandemic, but what were the first 8 years like versus these most recent 2 years?
I think Zoom was already a fast-growing business prior to the pandemic. And our employees, we worked so hard, and we became a proud Nasdaq public company in 2019. And we are doing all we can to deliver happiness to those business and enterprise customers. I think over the past 15 months, Zoom was a different company. The reason why we had to embrace all those consumer-oriented new use cases. And, you know, like end of 2019, you look at the daily meeting participant, only 10 million. March and April last year, it all the way jumped to 300 million daily meeting participants. I think, you know, we scaled, you know, very rapidly, and we are very proud of our employees and very proud of our customer support. I think Zoom and it became a very different company now. I think a huge opportunity ahead of us.
All right, Eric Yuen, CEO of Zoom, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Andy. I really appreciate it. Thank you.